It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. It's great to be with you here at Bible Home Church. We're going to continue with our great series. I call it great because, you know, it defends the Bible, and we're told in the Bible that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith was not twice delivered or thrice delivered. The faith was delivered one time. You know, God does it right. And when we read of the exploits and the accounts of the apostles and the prophets in the Bible, we know it all comes together. All the threads work together in one piece of fabric. It was once delivered. We don't have to deliver a new gospel today. I hear so many preachers out there and evangelists are saying, God is doing a new thing. Well, right away, I say, watch out. Watch out. Not that God couldn't do a new thing, but usually what they say is new has, New Age overtones to it. And their new thing is something really gets down outright satanic. I like the old things. You know, the Old Testament says that we should stick by the ancient landmarks of the faith. And we should contend for the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. Not over and over again, each time repackaged in a new format. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, we have for you today, of course, our continuing series proving that exact point and showing you how the new so-called Bible versions that use the Dead Sea Scrolls are deadly to people's spiritual nature. Now, before we do, we have an old Statler song, I'll Fly Away. You know, a lot of people don't believe in the rapture today. And the way it's taught, I can't blame them. The way the rapture is taught. Of course, the Bible does not have the word rapture in it. But it says we will be caught up in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's 1 Thessalonians. I'm not going to change the Bible. It's just that it comes with so much false baggage by people. Many people teach, you know, well, first, we're going to be caught up in the air, and then the Jews will set up a world kingdom on earth from Jerusalem. And they'll build their temple, and all mankind will have to go into that temple. It'll be a wonderful thing. You better watch out, friends. A lot of false teachings there. I mean, after all, they say the Jews are God's chosen people, and I always say chosen for what? Well, Abraham was chosen for his faith. Not because he was a Jew. He was not a Jew, by the way. He was chosen for his faith. And let me tell you today, if a Jew has faith in Jesus Christ, he's chosen too. She's chosen too. But if a person, Jew or Gentile, rejects Jesus Christ, don't tell me they're chosen. I said chosen for what? Chosen for hell, unless they repent. Now, that gets me in a lot of trouble with people. They don't seem to understand. But you got to watch your word today when you go around talking about a race being chosen. Abraham was not chosen because Jesus said, you know, I just like the Jews better than all the other peoples. I think I'm going to choose you. And everybody else, well, they can just go to hell. But I like you Jews. I like you racially. I like your race. I like your DNA type. Doesn't that sound a little ridiculous, my friend? And not only is it ridiculous, it's unscriptural. Paul said that Abraham believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And if you believe, my friend, let me tell you something. You can have the blood of a Chinese or a Japanese or an Alaskan. You can be a Heinz 57, which many Americans are, and by the way, many people around the world are. You know, the Bible says, don't get caught up in senseless and foolish genealogies. Don't get caught up in that. You know, there's a secret society in Europe that claims that it can trace itself all the way back to Jesus. They say Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and the bloodline of Jesus can be traced to today. And someday, somebody from that bloodline, Jesus and Mary Magdalene through the ages, somebody from that bloodline will become king of the world. Sounds like the Antichrist to me. But that's what they say in the Priory of Zion, a secret society based in France over in the Pyrenees Mountains in Europe. Listen to me, my friends. This is a recipe for disaster when you go around elevating one race over another. The Jews do that, of course. And if you're a Jew and you marry out of your race, well, you're disowned many times by your parents. You're looked down upon. You're even hated because you married a Gentile. Is that what God wants? I recall in the Bible, you need to read the story of Rahab. She was a prostitute. She was not Jewish. She repented. And she helped do God's work. And she's in heaven today. But she wasn't one of God's chosen people. Did you know, my friends, that God has never, ever said, you got to be a Jew to be God's chosen. I love the story of Jonah. He went to Nineveh. They weren't Jews. He said to Jonah, preach to those people. Preach to them. Tell them if they don't get right with God. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, friend. Read it for yourself. Read it in the book of Jonah. He says, and tell them that if they don't get right with God, they're going to hell. They're going to die in their sins. Now, Jonah was of a different race. He said, I don't even like those people. I want them to go to hell. I want them to die. I want them to suffer. It wasn't very charitable or neighborly or anything else, was it? God was going to hear none of it. He said, you go preach to those people like I told you. And Jonah says, no. Well, you all know what happened, my friends. Went out on the sea. The ship sank because of a great, or had a horrible problem because of the waves and all, the big storm that came up. Jonah was thrown overboard, of course, and a great fish gobbled him up. He was in the stomach of that great fish, which was a whale, and it spit him out. And guess where it spit him out? Right there on the banks. Right there on the coastline of Nineveh. There were the Ninevites saying, who is this guy? He came out of a fish. And I think, you know, that probably got him a lot of publicity. I mean, if you saw a guy that was spit out of a whale on the Florida coast or the California coast or the Texas coast or the New York harbor there, you'd be pretty shocked too. I bet it'd make all the headlines. I can just see it in your USA Today and on NBC. Man spit out of whale. Probably a lot of people be calling it a hoax. But there he was. And the amazing thing was he began to preach to him. The very guy that they saw spit out of the well, I assume they saw it, he began to preach to him. He didn't want to, but by that time he's pretty frightened. He better do what God wants. You know, sometimes that's a good moral lesson for us, isn't it? God tells you to do something, you keep saying no, no, no. Boy, no telling what's going to happen to you, my friend. Look at what happened to Jonah. Well, he preached to him, and guess what? They all repented. In sackcloth and ashes, even the leader, the king of the place, they all believed him. He was effective as an evangelist. He must have been a real hard preacher. I bet he really preached fire and brimstone because he wanted to see all these people go to hell. Boy, he really had a real hard line. You know, I bet he said some terrible things about those Ninevites. And it caused fear in them, I'm sure. They all repented. And then he was mad. He was upset. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to go to hell. And he complained to God. He said, I would have preferred for these people not to be saved. But they all believed. And you'll have to read what happened. God gave him a little moral lesson. Basically told him to shut up. I'll save whoever I want to save. There again is a great, great lesson for us. God chose the people of Nineveh for salvation. Did you get what I just said? They were chosen for salvation. And they were preached to. by a man who came up out of a fish from the ocean. And they believed him, and they repented. Now, there are a lot of evangelists that have come up a lot of strange ways in America, I'm sure, although I don't remember ever reading about one that came up out of a fish. And they've been preaching to Americans now for a long time, but people here just refuse to repent. What does that tell you? We've had this program here on Bible Home Church for a number of years, but I don't see any great revival in America today. Now, maybe you can blame Tex Mars. Maybe it's my inadequacies. But I don't think so. I think it's just a sign of the times. Not that I don't have inadequacies. Not that I could certainly improve as a preacher. It's just that I believe this is America's destiny. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Because unlike Jonah, I don't want to see the American people go into hell. I love the people of America. I want to see them prosper. The same thing with the Jews today. I want to see the Jews prosper and go into heaven and be blessed by the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the Jews as our brothers? I'd love to see the Jews and the Palestinians come to accept Jesus, lay down their arms and love each other. Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing? And you know, if they would believe in Jesus Christ, both sides, it is possible. I really believe they could do that. But it appears they won't, and it appears that it's even prophesied they won't. Jerusalem is going to be a great controversy in the last days. So, we come back to the Bible. We come back to the powerful saving grace that you find recorded in the pages of the Bible. The people of Nineveh were pagans. And by the way, they worshipped a great god whom they believed came up out of the ocean. Half man, half fish. Maybe that's why they were willing to listen to this guy. They probably thought maybe he's God or a God. That's what they were taught among the pagans, you know. Dagon the fish god has come to us. But he said, I'm not Dagon the fish god, you idiots. I'm from the real God. And you better get right. That must have been pretty big shock to these pagans. Well, God works in mysterious ways, does he not? Anyway, we started this discussion because we were talking about the song we're going to hear now called I'll Fly Away. They don't sing this song much in churches today. Oh, I mean, some of the old line Baptist churches, even a few Southern Baptists are still hanging on to the gospel, which I appreciate. Some few independent Baptist churches, which I really appreciate. A few Pentecostals here and there. You know, a few Seventh-day Adventist people. But, of course, the denomination itself has gone really bad. And there are others, too, I guess, and without even any real names. Names like Community Church or, you know, New Covenant Church or whatever. Love to hear from you. If you have a prayer need, would you write to us? We'll pray for you. Just tell us what you'd like to pray for, and we'll do it. It can be a loved one. It can be a healing need. I believe in healing. I believe God can heal. You say, well, he stopped healing. A lot of the Baptists, you know, and others teach that. Well, he doesn't heal anymore. Oh, yeah, sure. As if God changes, right? See, there again, malarkey. Friends, listen to me. He healed in the Old Testament. Read the story of Elijah and the widow's son. Healed. Read about the apostles. Read about the healings of Jesus. Healed. Okay? I'm not talking about the Oral Roberts nonsense and all that garbage. I'm talking about prayer to Jesus Christ that causes change, that causes miracles. And it is real, my friends. And listen to me. It has always been real. All the way from the days of Adam and Eve, it was possible to pray, and God hears prayers. All right? And don't try to tell me otherwise, because I'll just give you scriptures till your head flows off. And that'll really put them to shame. That's what I'll do. I'll just give you scriptures till it just comes out your ears. I won't give you my opinion. I'll just give you the scriptures. And boy, let me tell you, you're in real trouble when I start reading scriptures. I hadn't even started yet. All right. I'll fly away. It's a fast tune, but it's not nearly as fast as the real event. Here are the Statlers, and then we're going to continue our series on Beware the Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm Pastor Tex Mars of Bible Home Church.
Some glad morning. when the slime is sore, I'll fly away to a home God celestial shore.
Of Zion is a very evil group, a secret society of very rich Europeans mainly, which also has a strong following in America among various secret society groups. They are putting out the lie that Jesus was just a man. But they say that Jesus, in fact, married Mary Magdalene and fathered children. And from this bloodline, there is today in the world descendants. They say that they, the members of the Priory of Zion, are from the very bloodline of Jesus, and therefore they're destined to rule this world with their divine blood. Now, you may remember the movie The Last Temptation of Christ was an echo of this particular blasphemy. Now, one man named Peter Lemassurier has written a book called The Armageddon Script about this. And he wrote another book called The Passover Plot, in which he says that the Essene sect, that Jesus was really an Essene, and that Jesus never really died on the cross, but his accomplices in the Essene sect gave him a potion, a chemical, a drug that allowed him to appear as if dead. It was a drug much like is used in certain voodoo sects. To create zombies. And his heart mechanism, the rhythmic breathing ceased. And for all who would see him, he appeared to be dead on the cross. And then it was that the Roman guards brought him down from the cross, and he was put in his tomb. But they say that then his Essenes brothers went into the tomb, moved the rock, paid off the Roman guard to have the privilege to do so, bribed him. And then they took Jesus away with them. That in fact Jesus was there waiting because, he had taken off his wrappings and such, the body wrappings, the cloth, the linen cloth, because he had never died anyway. He had just gone to sleep there on the cross. That he was willing to suffer the indignities and the pains and the wounds in his flesh to be part of the Passover plot. Of course, this is all ridiculous and fantastic, but it shows you the depths that these men of degradation, these liars, will go to. But my point is that they claim that the Dead Sea Scrolls are proof that the Essene sect not only existed, but in fact were part of the supposed Jesus Messiah plot. And so the Dead Sea Scrolls, they say, it will come out eventually that the Dead Sea Scrolls will prove that Jesus
was not God, but simply was part of this Passover plot of the Essenes. Now, again, I want to assure you that there is this horrible plot against the Bible. Did you know that Prince Philip of Great Britain is now in charge of a project, a United Nations project called the Sacred Literature Trust? They're bringing together all of the world's so-called wisdom writings, including, of course, the Bible, the Muslim Quran, the writings of Gautama Buddha, supposedly, and they're going to put them together in something called the Sacred Literature Trust. Here again, an attempt to unite all of the world's religious writings into one. Now, let's get deep into these Dead Sea Scrolls in the limited time we have here. And I want to show you the anti-Christian nature and perhaps the hidden agenda of these scrolls. Now, Mr. John Allegro was one of the original eight Dead Sea Scroll scholars. He wrote a book called The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Christian Myth. Notice the word myth. Mr. Allegro says that the scrolls will prove that Jesus was indeed the leader of the Essene community, and that the scrolls, therefore, do talk about a Messiah or their teacher of righteousness. But, of course, he says that the Essenes were basically Gnostics, mystics. In a sense, they were, I suppose, occultists. He said it really the Essenes manufactured Jesus, you might say. And therefore, Jesus has been a fake all along. Now, friends, therefore, Mr. Allegro directly attempts to refute and contradict the Gospels that we have in our Bible, and also the book of Acts from our Bible. Now, I also have in my hand right now in front of me a book by Dolores Cannon, a New Age book entitled Jesus and the Essenes. And here again, Miss Cannon says that the Dead Sea Scrolls provide fresh insights into Christ's ministry. Oh, sure. She mentions the fact that the Essenes were mystical, were, in effect, New Agers of their day. She points to Martin Larson, who published a book called The Essene Heritage in 1967. Now, my friends, Martin Larson wrote for the Spotlight newspaper. Now, whatever you think about the Spotlight newspaper, and they do have much good information, I can tell you this, Mr. Martin Larson, who recently passed away, who was their almost their in-house expert, supposedly on the IRS and financial matters, Mr. Larson was absolutely a heretic. And in his book, The Essene Heritage, he claimed there was a cover-up. He says that Dead Sea Scrolls were being kept undercover because they would reveal that the beginnings of Christianity were not what the Bible says they were. Well, that's what Miss Cannon says, too, in her book, Jesus and the Essenes. Now, I also want to refer you to another book by a man named Edmund Zeekley called The Essene Origins of Christianity. Here again, and by the way, he dedicates his book to the great god of the forest, the horned god Pan. Great Pan, the god of the forest, who he wants us all to return to and worship. Pan, the horned god. We're talking, of course, about the devil, although Mr. Zeekley probably would not admit that. He says in this book that Christianity suffers from a great, even a fatal weakness. He says the whole of its ethical and spiritual superstructure rests on a false historical foundation. And how would he know? He said, well, we need the Dead Sea Scrolls. He says there is spiritual depth and beautiful ethics found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And of course, they will tell you the truth that Christianity is a fake and a hoax. I want to tell you that even these scholars, except for Mr. Allegro, the original eight scholars, they themselves have never, ever claimed that the Dead Sea Scrolls disprove Christianity. Quite the opposite. Why, then, are we getting all of these secondhand stories today from these scholars who claim that the Dead Sea Scrolls disprove Christianity. Now, there is another book I have in front of my hand by a man named Neil S. Fujita, F-U-J-I-T-A. It's entitled A Crack in the Jar, What Ancient Jewish Documents Tell Us About the New Testaments. In the book, although he doesn't blaspheme Christianity so much, he nevertheless says that the Qumran caves of the Essenes prove to us archaeologically that the Essenes believed in the divine mysteries, the esoteric divine mysteries. Now, in the book 12 World Teachers by Manly P. Hall, a 33rd degree Freemason, and perhaps one of the top supposed, I would call it supposed because I don't recognize that these people are even scholars, he says some very interesting things. Now, Mr. Hall, both the York Rite and the Scottish Rite Freemasons say that he is the 20th century's greatest Mason scholar. In fact, in all of history, human history, only Albert Pike is greater as a scholar than Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason. Now, Mr. Hall also passed away recently, but in his book, 12 World Teachers, he says that the apocryphal gospels should be believed.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.